Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We happen to serve a mighty God, and it's not by happenstance. He loves us. He watched out for us. He blessed us all along. And everywhere we go and everything that we do, He's right there to help us. Not make our decision for us, but help us. He loves us that way. He cares about every part of our life, every facet, every piece of our life. And He wants us to be blessed. So He gave us His Word, which if we obey, we will learn. Learning God's Word comes in many stages. Seeing the Word of God displayed. When children see their parents and observe their parents, they're learning how to do things. And the Lord gave us this vision. Hopefully we'll have godly parents. I happen to have had godly parents. But when you look a little deeper, the challenges of my parents, they overcame challenges. And they presented me with what I saw. Every person has challenges. All forms of challenges in this world. God is trying to bless us and Satan's trying to destroy us. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to keep us in darkness. He's trying to make us rebel against God. That's his end game, which is death. Now, when children have a good start, they judge God by their parents, by their first authority figures. If they have mean parents, then the enemy gonna persuade them to think God is mean. If they have good parents, the enemy still gonna try to get them to believe the worst, but it'll be hard for them because they were shown the love of God. And they see the wisdom in it. There are some people so discouraged that they don't think that anybody loves them. And when people love them, they think they're after something. They've been wounded and beaten, battered in life. That's because that's the enemy. Sometimes people do fall for the enemy's traps. Another way we learn by hearing God's word. Sad to say, many families have closed the book. When I was growing up, it was traditional for people to have a Bible on the coffee table. But they really did what they really wanted to do, whatever that was. And they closed the book. So if you close the book and you're not reading the book, you're not receiving what's in it. But when you receive the Word of God, when you read the Word for yourself, and it's a translation. To us, it was translated in Old English, English that we don't use the same. And my mother gave me this Good News Bible, and it got me started. But I started realizing that when I became a minister, everybody preached from the King James Version, and it was better. It was I had to get used to the language. I love God so much, I just read the language and got used to it. But when you got past that, I saw the wisdom. And more people used the King James because it was more accurate. It was a better translation than the easy-to-read Bibles. But reading the Word of God and hearing His Word, going to church is a way we learn. And we see people, we see what they do, we see people make choices, godly choices. And it all works together to form faith in our hearts. Everything works together. Seeing the Word being lived by people is very encouraging. It's the love of God expressed. Hearing the Word of God is also a visual of the Word of God being expressed. But it uses your imagery in your mind and in your heart. When you receive His Word in your heart, it helps you to see. There's a soberness that comes with it. that you can trust, and it forms faith in your heart. And then we learn by acting on the Word of God. That's when the Word becomes faith, when we speak it, act on it. When Moses said, put the blood and the lintel on the doorpost, the blood on the doorpost and the lintels, the doorpost, that's the on the side of the doors, and the lintel is above the door. They put blood on all three places for the Passover, that the death angel won't kill that firstborn child. And if you were the firstborn child in the home, you really wanted your parents to obey God. And the Israelites obeyed, and some of the Egyptians, a few, and they all exited Egypt. They walked right out. Now, this was a big deal. This had never been done before. This wasn't expected by anybody. But as the people learned who God was, they followed Moses, they obeyed, they didn't leave, they didn't stay behind and remain slaves. And they weren't the most agreeable people in the first place. They were very contrary, but they obeyed that, and they walked out of Egypt free. And they looked dangerous too. Now, all their enemies were afraid of them. You don't just walk out of Egypt. All the slaves left Egypt. That was a big deal. Now, when you trust God and act on it, that's faith too. When you believe God, once you act on what you believe, it becomes faith. Faith is the action of believing. And faith is the action of trust. Obedience is the action of trust. And obedience is faith. It's the action side of trusting God. I'm doing this not because I necessarily want to. I may not see all the everything God sees, but I'm doing it based because He said do it. Now, when we get to that point in life, and we determine in our hearts to obey Him, now you're going to learn greater things. A man can walk out of the world when we see people display the living love of God. The Word of God is the knowledge of God, of love. The Word of God is the knowledge of God's love. So when we see the love of God displayed, it clues us in to what God is doing, and we learn. This is the difference between what Jesus said and false religion. See, cold religion and misinterpretations, they don't get you very far. A lot of people judge God based on what people do and say because they won't study for themselves. They do everything but study the Word of God for themselves. And they don't learn how things work. And if they're taught improperly, it interferes with them learning. See, the enemy's trying to get, he don't work on just one front. The things that aggravate you, he's behind that, but he's also set an attack point in the way people understand God. The false church is a problem. They teach in this, they get people off track at the seminary level. When preachers get called to the ministry and they go to seminary, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes that's one of the worst things they could do. I've heard good preachers, they believe the wrong thing, but they have the Holy Spirit to bring them back to balance, and they still preach a good message, even though they were taught wrong. And here's some of the things people were taught wrong. Healing went out when the apostles died. That's stupid. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You still get saved by faith, so you still got to be healed by faith. Everybody who got healed by faith, they always got healed by their faith. They stood on a promise. And they obey God, and that's why the word said, go to the elders and he'll pray the prayer of faith and you will be healed. There was no room for error because there was none. Real elders are people who, that's not just a title, that they are people who have walked with the Lord and they can pray and they are skilled at operating in faith. An elder can be a child. Anybody that follows God is not limited to age. But when people teach wrong, then they expect wrong. When they expect wrong, and they were taught by people that they trusted, and they don't question what's being taught, they're not like the Bereans who made sure that the words were factual. When Paul taught the Bereans, they studied the Bible. They studied the Old Testament that they had to make sure he was telling the truth. And the Bible said they were more noble than others. And people, they fail to do that. They're not thinking. Healing is healing. I'm using that for an example, and there are many others. Another one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cold religion has excluded that valuable asset that we have. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. Because God loves us. He subdued us there. You believe on Jesus, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's why the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And a lot of people don't preach that scripture and they don't understand it. John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit on the outside, and he was martyred before Jesus died for him. He believed, but he was martyred before Jesus died. He didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside like the apostles did and every child of God that believed on Jesus. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit within. And men that really love God, like my dad, they had the Holy Spirit within and they did outstanding works. But they were taught wrong. They were taught that all that went out with the disciples. And when they didn't know any better, they received that and it interfered with their ministry. Great men of God taught this way. A lot of them. Most of the people, many of them, that came from the Baptist and Methodist background, Presbyterian. They taught this way. But in the Methodist church in the early days, when John Wesley was still living, he told them to go and pray till they get that second blessing, and they started speaking in tongues again. And if people found out that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it spread, and Pentecostal churches were born, they started believing the Pentecost doctrine. And they started studying the book of Acts, and they started having miracles. And they were a little wild. They were a wild bunch. And by that I mean, they were praying. They loved God. They'd pray all night sometimes. They were more radical. And some of the, you know, and it caused people to be afraid to receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to have wisdom when you do the things of God. If you follow God, you'll have that wisdom. And that wisdom will grow and multiply. And they got fixated on, you know, the enemy uses distractions. And they mix tradition in and a form of the law in their practice. They made a big deal out of what they didn't do, where they didn't go, what they don't do, how women dress. They were restrictive. They kept laws that God didn't ordain. You're not righteous because what you wear, what you don't eat, or what you know, this is spelled out all throughout the Gospels, but a lot of people didn't read good. And sometimes people didn't They didn't read. They received the Holy Spirit and they listened to the preacher. But there were a few people that could read. And people out of the denominational churches, some would read. And Pentecostal people could read too, but not all. And the Lord taught some of them to read. But even if you can read, some people just don't read the Word of God for themselves. I'm sorry. And a lot of things get by people. And a firm understanding of Colossians chapter 2. You know, the Jews started this. They tried to make the people keep the law. Well, now that you're saved, we believe you're saved through Jesus, okay, but you still got to keep the law. You got to circumcise your children. You got to eat a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. Those things don't make you righteous. Those were things that pointed you in the right direction. They were good for what they were designed to do. They taught us covenant. But now we have Jesus, it doesn't matter what you eat. God showed Peter that he could eat whatever. He was showing him that God accepted the Gentiles that believed too. And he started preaching to the Gentiles. And Jesus said to start in Jerusalem, take it over the world. But they forgot. Until the Lord gave Peter that vision. And he saw that the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit like he did. It didn't register good till all that happened. And you can't impose Jewish laws on Gentiles. And the Jews didn't, once they received Jesus, they had him. They didn't need the props of the law, the types and shadows anymore. See, the law is still intact. We don't do away with the Old Testament. And we don't do away with the Ten Commandments. By the love of God that we have received, the agape love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we fulfill the law. We have the love of God, so we fulfill the law. We don't even want to cheat on another man's wife, to commit adultery, fornication, steal, and covet people's property. We don't want to do that with the love of God in us. We fulfill the law by the love of God, by the shed blood of Jesus. We were made righteous. So dressing a certain way, eating a certain way, observing the Sabbath, those things don't make us righteous. And it never did. It taught us how to keep covenant. But when Christ came, now he taught us how to live. And people didn't focus on living and following the Holy Spirit and obeying him. So you still got the residue of the past in the church. People focus on what they do, their might, their will, their power. If you want to kill a problem, receive God's word and do it biblically. The word of God will build you up. The love of God will cause you not to want to do nothing off color. You don't have to focus on not sinning. You can focus on living. And everything you want to change, you can speak the word of God in your heart. You can speak the word of God and overcome all forms of sin. If you love to read Romans chapter 7, go ahead and read chapter 8 with it, because it tells you about life in the Spirit. I found out you can live without the misery of temptation and the misery of failure. All things can be conquered by the Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The life of God's Word. If you fill your heart with His Word, you'll have strength. And you won't be weak. And you can solve every problem that comes your way. And everything Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. You can kill any problem that come up in your life. Not to exclude all the people, the men of God, Peter and James and John, and Paul, the writings they wrote. First Peter explains the love of God. Second Peter explains the victory and the danger of false doctrine in chapter 3. As you go forward in the Lord, and you study these things, you become fortified, and you have the life of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about the false prophets, and in chapter 3, it teaches you how to be patient, waiting on the Lord, doing His will while you have time. The books of Timothy, it teaches you how to pastor, how to be a blessing, what's going to come. Titus teaches you how to be sober in the Lord. Revelation teaches you what Jesus is doing, what to expect. Now, if you don't go forward in these things, God can't make you go forward. He will help you live. As you obey the Lord, you learn things you can't learn any other way. When you obey the Lord, you're doing it because the Lord said do it. That's why you're doing whatever it is you're obeying. You trust God and you're acting on it. Now, when this happens, you're setting something in motion. And eventually you're going to see the blessings and the rewards of knowledge that comes with obedience to God. And you're going to be propelled to trust God the next time. In doctrine and in ministry, when you follow God and obey Him, you're going to learn that it's better. You're doing wisdom that you could not originate. And it's going to be glorious to you. And people will think you're smart. But you know that you didn't come up with this idea that works. God did. And you start looking to the Lord. And when your eyes are on Him, see, remember, faith always looks to God. And the more faith you operate in, the more you look to God and the more you will learn. I had to overcome all these different forms of obstacles. It took a while. But once I did, it helped me to learn greater things in a much faster way and cooperate even better. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And He will help us spring every trap.